Thanks to Josh Apple, former Asbury College student, for his introduction. For you out there that are college football fans, broken and humbled, you know, when you're at the top, there's a long ways to fall. For you guys that are from the north, I guess I feel a little more like a Wolverine today. So that's all we'll say about football for now. And on this Monday of Thanksgiving week, it's great to see the serious students. They're still here. I know you guys are dedicated. We're going to start a little bit different this morning. And I want you, in the midst of this week that we're in, to let some things that you're thankful for begin to rise to your mind and to your heart. And we're going to start kind of in this same spirit of the opening song we had, with Psalm 136 and reciting some of those words that the psalmist gives us in that psalm. And so as I read the first half, if you'll just respond together, let's prepare our hearts in this way. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. To the one who remembered us in our low estate. And freed us from our enemies. And who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. And as you reflect on some of the things that you're thankful for this semester, maybe this week, what I'd like you to do is turn to your chapel buddy and just kind of start at the right of each section and kind of just move across your section, pairing up with who's sitting next to you. My left, your right, however that is. I want you to take 30 seconds and share. These are the two or three things I'm thankful for this semester. And then switch and just take the next minute to say some things you're thankful for to the person sitting next to you. Go. Okay, did both people get to go? Okay, both people got to go. Okay, making sure. No? All right, you'll have to hold that person down after chapel's over. Okay. More than Thanksgiving is what I want us to reflect on a little bit this morning. And Friday, Professor Kerr talked to us about being more than conquerors. And Professor Kerr took more than enough time to talk to us about being more than conquerors. And I only say that because I resemble that remark and can identify with his struggles there. But I want us to think about a little different sense of Thanksgiving, that we practice this daily ritual of being thankful, but where is it deep within us that God is calling us to be thankful for some things that are a little more difficult? What needs to expand about the way we practice Thanksgiving? So in this daily realm of Thanksgiving, there's the gratitude for provision. We've got food to eat, and so we pray and we say, thank you, Lord, for this food. We've got shelter, and we often kind of take that for granted, to be thankful there, especially after news that I heard in the last couple of weeks about 60 students at Westmont College in California and at least 14 faculty whose places where they were living were burned up in some of the fires in California. And that's just happened within the last 2 weeks, that their shelter was gone. Are we thankful for that? We often say thanks for stuff. You know, we get something and we kind of say, hey, I'm just praising God that this, I was able to get this thing, you know, someone provided it. And when we really see that the Lord's enabled that, it's a great place to be thankful. There's gratitude for relationships. And this week we think of it going home to see family, you know, grateful to be around our family. And next Saturday or Sunday while we're driving back to Asbury, some of us will be thankful that we're driving back to Asbury. There's gratitude for relationships. And, you know, I think we have to ask ourselves a little bit, when are we typically thankful? Because sometimes it's hard to admit that we're probably typically thankful a good number of times just when stuff goes our way. You know, we got something our way, and then that ends up being when we're thankful. There has to be more to Thanksgiving than that. There's got to be this moving deeper within it. And one of the questions that comes up for me in realizing what moving deeper requires is how do we get past the difficulty about things not going our way in order to find some gratitude in areas where God is working on us? We don't like being stretched, and there's no real thrill in being broken because it's so difficult to be thankful and express gratitude in those circumstances. It's tough for us to expand our thanksgiving and move deeper. But one of the first places we go is to Job. And he did it. Job gives us this whole different kind of life in how to respond to crisis. And that verse that has stuck with me for so many years in chapter 13 is verse 15. When Job said, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. That in the most tragic of crises, Job trusted. Before we talk a little bit more about that and unpack Job, I've got to tell you a couple of L.E.K. stories, the four-year-old. Because last time I was in trouble that I told a Molly story, and Ellie said, Daddy, you didn't talk about me. So just yesterday, we were getting ready to go to church, and my wife had picked out the dress and told me what color of shoes Ellie needed to wear with that dress. Well, Ellie picked out the black shoes, the wrong shoes. And so she's sitting there and asked me to help her put them on. And I said, you know, Ellie, these these are too small for you. And she said, I don't care, Daddy. I want to wear these. I said, Ellie, these are really three-year-old shoes. They're for a three-year-old and not a four-year-old. She said, Daddy, these shoes had a birthday. She's a genius. But she's got this little stage going on where she can really flip something around. I was praying for Ellie about a week ago. And it was this day where Ellie was walking around the house, and she'd come up to Mommy or come up to Molly, and she just had her tongue out all day. She was just like licking people on the arm, licking them on the face. Wherever she could get her tongue, she was just licking. And I'm sitting there praying with her at bedtime and saying, Lord, thank you for your love for Molly, and thank you for the way that you love Ellie. And God, just help her not to stick her tongue out. And so then I finished the prayer and everything, and then it's Ellie's turn to pray. And so you never know what you're going to get when Ellie prays. And she said, Lord, just help Daddy to be okay with me sticking my tongue out. Help Daddy let me lick him. Humor, you know, when you're praying is good. She is plain funny. But I'm going to bed later that night after I'm cracking up during Ellie's prayer. And I'm laying down to go to sleep. And, you know, I thought, isn't that how we live? That sometimes I'm in that place that Ellie K was. Jesus is whispering something for us to let go of and surrender. And we're praying, Lord, let me keep it. Let me still get away with this. And it started hitting me how when there's this contradiction going on in us, where that kind of contradiction exists, there's really no thanksgiving. There's no gratitude in that place where we're kind of polarizing, where the Spirit of God is wanting to work on us. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him, is how the NIV says it. The King James Version says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the Message comes at it with the words that say, because even if he killed me, I'd keep on hoping. And a commentary really grabbed my attention that said this. Job's sense here is that though God slay him, Job was saying, I will not be separated from God, but will constantly hope for him. And Job's concern was not with his life. It was not to be delivered from his suffering. His concern was not to be restored to his prosperity, which in this little economic crisis that our country is in, so many of us are tempted towards that. Lord, just restore us to some prosperity. That wasn't Job's concern. His concern that this commentary points out was to maintain his integrity. And his concern was to be vindicated before God, that he would be right with God, and that he would be right with his fellow man. I love this focus that student chapels have had. Get focused and get out. It has given us this simple summation of being Christian, that's what it's about as we get a hold of Scripture and we get a hold of holiness, that there is stewardship and mission to be lived out, that there are places that God is sending us. And I realize my struggle as I think about getting focused and getting out is that sometimes we lose focus on the words of Job, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. And the hoping in him starts becoming skewed and unfocused. And I don't trust him in the moments when there's difficulty. And I get stuck, and these moments start becoming fuzzy, and I get stuck in circumstances for which it's difficult to be thankful or to express gratitude. What kind of stuff are you stuck in, and where do you struggle having deeper thanksgiving? There's three really simple ones, I think, where so many of us live every day that I would just want to hit on. The first one is busyness. I don't know of anyone in this room that's not feeling this. I can't wait for three holidays this week, you know? 3 days of break for school. Because we've been so busy the last 3 months. I'm sure for some of you, there have been feelings in the last 3 months where you've been close to being overwhelmed. And this respite that is coming this week is something that you are just yearning for. And I'm not about to say that all of our busyness is good. Not about to say that all of my busyness is good. But what if we gave it this evaluation and this were the test? For which categories of your busyness can you be thankful? Which areas of your busyness are you not thankful? It's just a different kind of question for us to evaluate that by. There's a tension that we're in busyness. One side may even come under what James talks about in chapter 1. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its good work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Then there's this other part of busyness that we kind of hear in that cliche, the cliche that says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So there's a kind of busyness that completely suffocates us. There's a kind of busyness that can remove us from the presence of God, sensing the Lord's love for us, sensing what Jesus said when he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. So where is it in your busyness, and how within that can you have deeper thanksgiving? Is there some busyness that is exactly what God called you to? Second, challenges. I want you to think for just a moment about the semester. Have you faced a challenge that is tougher than most anything you've gone through before? Is it your class load that's been a more difficult challenge? Is there some relationship that you've been battling or been in the midst of that's been a tougher challenge than you've ever had? It may be the challenge of grief that you've known someone you loved that died in the last few months, and the challenge that comes with that. We're tempted to think, when those kind of difficulties come up, that something is wrong. That if it's hard, it's bad. But as the Lord renews our mind, many times in those situations, it's not that it's something inherently bad. If it's hard, it's just hard. And we need community to help us walk through those times. And we need the body of Christ. If I were just thinking about challenge and being honest with you, the first 6 months of my being at Asbury, there's been some pieces of it that were tougher than I expected. And responsibilities that gave me more challenge than I was really preparing myself for. You know, during the challenges that come up for us, there's vulnerable moments. And sometimes during those vulnerable moments, it is tough to be thankful and to have gratitude. But I'm very convinced in my own journey that when I hear the words of Job in those moments, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him, there's a melting of the heart towards being grateful and towards more thanksgiving. Because we have to be able to see in those moments of challenge, are we still in the middle of something that God has called us to someone he is calling you to be, to the place where he has called you to exist? And can we get hold of more thanksgiving there? How do our challenges look in the light of the words of Paul? When Paul said, I want to know him, I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If we put our challenges underneath that lens, can you find deeper thanksgiving in your challenges? And one, the last one after busyness and challenges is pain. It's one tougher for us to explore. Dr. Gray talked not too long ago about memories. And in November, I have more memories of a younger brother, my brother Jeff. And I think I shared with y'all briefly about his death. It was at the dawn of November on Halloween that Jeff took his life when he was a senior in high school. And Jeff's birthday is in the middle of November, the 14th. And so then there was always this coming into Thanksgiving with my family where my younger brother was at the forefront of our thoughts because of those dates. And there's been much pain in my family because of his suicide. And suicide is something so hard to walk through. One of the pieces of it that was so tough for me in the first years was because of the four siblings that I have. Jeff and I had the most challenging relationship and had this volatile relationship. And since I was older than Jeff, after his death, there were tough memories for me to get past. Words that I'd said, ways that I'd treated him. But about a year and a half after Jeff's death, I became a Christian, and I really knew Jesus in a way I'd never known him before. It was about 7 years after that that I began to experience a very significant healing. And I'll never forget standing next to Jeff's grave, which I'd been to before. And there's something tough when someone has died because you don't have the choice really to be reconciled. You can encounter forgiveness, but you don't necessarily have the option to be reconciled. But I stood there and said, I'm sorry. And this just roll of thoughts and places that I had, things I had completely botched just came out in this rolling through, I'm sorry. And it was very painful. But the forgiveness that was there was so real. I was so set free. And the Lord brought such healing deep within me. And as I reflected on that, it hits me so strong, because as much as that was painful to me, the healing that I was receiving right there standing by Jeff's grave was from the one who's faced the greatest pain possible. It's incomparable to pain that I faced. And it's not simply at Easter that we remember that pain, but it's at Thanksgiving that we say, Jesus, thank you for dealing with greater pain and facing that. And there's things about my brother's death that I can never really put a cloak of thanksgiving on. But I've come to this very important resolve. I'm so thankful that he lived. And you may have some situation in your life where you need to say that. I'm so thankful for my brother's life, and that for 17 years I knew him. Job gives us something very challenging. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because even if he killed me, I would keep on hoping in the presence and the power of God. I think that healing for me started about a year after that happened. When I was a senior in college, someone in my campus ministry said, Greg, there's this support group for people that have gone through suicide. And the most simple thing happened when I showed up. I saw faces, and I knew I was not alone. And I knew other people were going down that road. The enemy wants so much for us to believe that we're alone. And the Lord Jesus wants so much for us to come into the light and be in places where we are not alone. And God used it to get me outside of myself. And you may not need a support group. You may simply need to step somewhere in a place of service where you're giving to someone else. Through Christian Service Association and groups like Nathaniel Mission and Servant Evangelism and so many of the other groups that go out weekly, you have a place where you can give to someone else. Things that Impact does. Getting outside of ourself opens up gratitude. What can you do to get to the place where Job's heart was? And as the band comes up to give us a song of closing this morning for our time of worship, I just want to encourage you to where you can move in that direction, that no matter what degree of busyness you're facing and have been dealing with, is there more thanksgiving that you can have there? Whatever the challenge may have been that you've gone through recently, or the pain that you've been walking through, is there a place where you can ask for God's grace to help you say that which Job said, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him? Because living in this way is more than thanksgiving, and it expands our gratitude. Let's pray together as the band comes. Lord, we know that it is only your Holy Spirit that can identify and shed light in those places in our hearts. So God, where you have been at work, Lord, and where you have been taking us, may we open up to let your Spirit touch there. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.